Have you ever stopped and just given thought? I'm sure that you have at some point in time, but I want to do that with us tonight. Stop and just give some thought to our great inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus. I just want to try to preach about that a while tonight. Realizing our inheritance in the Lord. The Bible says God's made us some great and precious promises of some great things for us that sometimes we kind of take our salvation for granted and our Christian lives for granted, and we don't stop and think about what's really in store for us. Wonderful things. The Christian's future is brighter today than it ever has been before. Why do I say that? With all the turmoil that's going around the world, all the wickedness in our nation, all the horrible things you hear about, why do I say our Christian heritage is so brighter today? Because I'm closer to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Turn with us tonight in your scriptures into the book of Hebrews. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read just verses 1 and 2 in Hebrews chapter 4. And the writer of Hebrews, I believe to be the Apostle Paul. Others would probably disagree with that, but nonetheless, they've got a right to be wrong. Amen. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. And he writes and he says in chapter 4, verse 1, "Let us therefore fear." Now, he doesn't mean be afraid and cringe and, you know, cower down. He means respect and reverence and awe before the Lord. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Have you ever picked up your copy of God's Word and read it and possibly backed up and maybe reread it again, and you put your Bible aside and you thought, "It just didn't speak to me. It just didn't jump off the page, so to speak, and it didn't really meet a need in my life." Have you ever been there, done that?
Sure.
I'm sure we all have at some point in time or another. And I'm sure there's been times when you hear some pastor preach a sermon and you think, well, either I didn't get what he was saying or I didn't understand where he was going or how he got there. The sermon just didn't seem like it was for me, it was for somebody else. You ever been there and done that? I'm sure you have. I'm sure you've done that since I've been your pastor. I know that you have at some point in time. No, so don't tell a lie right before the Lord. I know it happened. Nonetheless, if you've ever read the Word of God and it didn't seem to really click with you, and you've heard a message and it didn't seem to be meeting a need in your life, let me encourage you. You're not alone. It happens to all of us. This message today will be for you, I promise you. If you've read the Word of God, it hadn't meant a lot to you. If you heard sermons that didn't really click with you in your life, I want to share something tonight that I know will be meaningful to all of us. Now, you have to, when you start realizing our inheritance of the Lord, we have to have faith mixed with the promises of God and let those work in our hearts and life, and then we'll begin to grow and be stronger in the Lord. Now, there's some things here I want to share with you. You remember when Israelites left Egypt, they carried the bones of Joseph with them. Joseph had made them promise, not if, but when you leave Egypt, you must carry up my bones with you and bury them in the promised land or Canaan. Now, why did he say that? Because God had promised them that was their inheritance. That was to be their land, Canaan, the promised land, that they would inherit that, and there they'd find the rest of God. So Joseph said to Jacob and all the others, he said, "Take my bones with you back to Canaan." Now, the writer of Hebrews kind of takes a slice, if you will, out of the history here of Israel and shares with us some things in the verses that I read about the promises of God, and about our inheritance, and about our realizing our inheritance today. You know, we have just as real an inheritance in the Lord as Israel did with Canaan. The promises God made to Israel are still in effect today. Doesn't matter what politicians may say. Doesn't matter what the world may say. God's promises to Israel of their inheritance are still in effect today. And I promise you, if time exists, we may not see it, but at some point in time, I promise you, God's going to give Israel back every inch of the land that He promised them. It's going to happen. So God's promises are always true to Israel, still in effect. The promises that God's made to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're still in effect. Now, let me share some things with you. If we're going to realize our inheritance, there's some things about our inheritance that we need to kind of back up and review, if not, if you already maybe know them, but if you don't, let's just look at them afresh. Some things about our inheritance in the Lord. First of all, I want you to see this. Inheritance begins with a promise. Inheritance begins with a promise. If you go back and just review in your memory, I know you've probably read this, and I know I've preached from it. Hope you've read it on your own. But when Abraham and Sarah were called by God to leave Ur of the Chaldees, you remember God called Abraham and separated him and his wife and told them, go to a place, I'll show you. When God made the promise, He said, I'll make you great. I'll make your descendants more than the sands of the sea, too numerous to count as the stars in the heavens. Just obey me and leave. Well, it took a lot of faith, I would say, in Abraham and Sarah's part just to pick up and go. Listen, they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know where this land was or this promise that God had made Abraham. They didn't know where it was. Could you imagine as they began to gather up all their belongings and starting to make that trek out of Ur of the Chaldees, what their neighbors said? Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You're moving. You've got to know where you're going. No, I don't know. What? Well, why are you leaving if you don't know where you're going? Well, God told us to leave. Oh, He did. Yes, God told us to leave. And God also told us, promised us, that there's a promised land, there's a promise, an inheritance that God's going to give us and our descendants. So we're going to go at God's command. We're leaving because of God's promise. And they left. And all the story about Abraham is this, that Abraham always looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Listen, he believed God would show him where he was going to go. He believed God would take him to the land of Canaan that God had promised him. Well, can't you depend on God's promises? If God told him that, then God's going to bring it to pass. Well, the same thing's true to us, just as it was to Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or any Israelite down the line. God's made us precious and great promises, and you can count on every promise that God has ever made. So here goes Abraham and Sarah. They leave. They follow God by faith on God's promise, and on down the journey in their life, they made a wrong turn. I don't guess any of us has ever made wrong turns, have we? I know we have. They made a detour in their life. They went down to Egypt. And by going down to Egypt, they disobeyed the Lord. And what happened to them? If you know your history, you'll know this. They got into trouble. Abraham lied about his wife. Told Pharaoh his wife was his sister. So they got into trouble. But God forgave them. God brought them back and He put them on track, right on course to where they should be, toward this promised land and this promise that God had made them. I want you to know something about Abraham's life. Do you know he never owned anything in the promised land but one thing? Do you know what he owned? He only owned a piece of ground that he bought for a burial place. And on that piece of ground that he bought was a cave. It was called the Cave of Machpelah. It was in that particular cave that Sarah, Abraham's wife, she had died, and he buried her in that cave at Machpelah. And when Abraham died, Isaac also took his father's corpse, and he buried him in that cave alongside of his wife Sarah. So the only thing in Canaan that Abraham ever owned was that little piece of ground with the cave for a burying spot. But yet, God had promised all these wonderful things that he's going to do for Abraham and his descendants. And of course, we know by history that God kept his promise, don't we? We know that they did gain inheritance to Canaan's land. Now, Sarah and her husband Abraham were buried in the cave at Machpelah. But to God's promises to Abraham still went on. After Abraham died, God reaffirmed the promise to Isaac, to his son, and to Jacob, and later on down the line to Moses, and on down the line to different ones throughout the Old Testament, God reaffirmed his promise. So inheritance begins with a promise. Now, the promise is made by Jesus to us. Let me just bring us quickly down to the New Testament time. In John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Isn't that a promise of God? Isn't heaven an inheritance God promised us? Has God ever made one promise that he hasn't kept, or those that he will eventually keep? He keeps his promises. You can depend on him. So inheritance begins with a promise. Now listen, Jesus didn't make those promises in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. He didn't just make those promises to the first century disciples. Yes, he made them to them, but those same promises are just as good for you, just as good for me, as they were for Israel or any of those disciples in the first century. They transcend time on down to you and to me. We get the same promise they got. Our inheritance in the Lord is just as real as Canaan was to the Israelites. So you've got to understand about realizing our inheritance, it begins with a promise. Jesus promised us he had built a place for us. And he promised us he would come again to receive us. And he would take us to be with him that where he is. Where is Jesus today? Where is Jesus today? The Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God the Father in heaven. Sure he is. And we're going to be there one day just as sure as he made the promise to us. And we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That promise is true, it is sure, and it's secure. You can count on it. So realizing our inheritance, it begins first of all with a promise. But there's a second stage to our inheritance. It just begins with a promise, but that promise must be mixed with our faith. Listen to what Hebrews says again there in chapter 4. "Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So God's promises to us are true and secure, but God's promises to us must be mixed with faith. Now, back to Israel again. They left Egypt. When they got to Kadesh Barnea, they could have gone straight on into the promised land and conquered the promised land and realized the inheritance that God had for them. Well, you remember the story, don't you? They were getting ready to enter the promised land. So they send out 12 spies. One man from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. They send them out to spy out the land of Canaan, so to speak. So they do. And they come back with their report to Joshua and to the Israelite brethren. And here's the report. You know it probably as well as I. 10 out of those 12 men had negative faith. "Well, we can't go into Canaan. Those people are giants over there. We're just like grasshoppers in their presence. They are warlike people. Oh, it's a good land to be sure. It's a land that flows with all sorts of milk and honey and good things. And it's a very beautiful place and very profitable place. But we can't go over there. We can't realize that inheritance because, you know, we just can't do it. We're not able. Well, only two out of the 12, Joshua and Caleb, they stood firm in their faith. They stood firm with the Lord's promise. God had already said, I've given you the land. Now, what's wrong with God's promise? If God had already said, I've given you the land. If God had already said, why couldn't they take God at His word? Why couldn't they believe God's promise and do what Joshua and Caleb said? They said, they're excited. They said, we ought to go in now and just go ahead in the land because God's promised us. He's given it to us. So let's not wait. Let's do it now. And so now what happened? The 10 won out with the other Israelites. Betty Jo, you were talking about sometimes we can be right and everybody else be wrong. This is a case I'm talking about. Two out of 12 were right on time with God's promise. And as I said many times before, the majority is not always right. In this particular case, the majority was wrong. Nevertheless, you know the story. Because of their unbelief, they wouldn't mix their very faith and trust God with the promise that God had made them. Yet, a whole generation was lost because of their lack of faith. Now listen, think about it. Just give some thought to it. What about our faith today? What about these wonderful, precious promises God's made to us? Why would we ever doubt what Jesus said when He said, I'm going to prepare that place for you. And I'm coming back to get you one day. I'm going to take you to that place that where I am, you'll be there too. We'll get our rest, praise God, one day, won't we? Israel one day will get their place of rest without any kind of slavery, any kind of bondage. They're going to get it one day because God promised it to them. Well, in this particular case, lack of faith won out. They wouldn't mix their faith with God's promise. Well, what happened? 38 years later, now listen at it. 38 years later, Joshua led a whole new generation of people into the promised land, and they conquered the promised land, and God allowed him to divide up that promise, divide up that land that God had promised them. Well, if they had just believed God sooner, that one generation wouldn't have had to been lost. Wouldn't have had to been a whole new generation that came with Joshua into the promised land. They just acted upon their faith upon God's promise. Do you know the problem with Israel? And I'll tell you, that's a problem today with many of us. Israel was acting on sight and not faith. And beloved, listen, if you act on sight and not the faith of God, you're going to get in trouble every time. I can't trust my sight. I can trust the Lord. And we do the same thing. We act sometimes by sight and not by faith. And when we do, what happens? We get into trouble too, don't we? Didn't Paul write in Romans 10, didn't he say, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? Well, Hebrews follows up on that, and I think again I say Paul wrote that. He follows up again in Hebrews and it says this, without faith it is impossible to please God. Well, so our inheritance is real. It's sure. It's secure. It began with a promise. But we got to mix with it, you see, the faith that we put into the Lord Jesus Christ and not doubt Him. But there's a third stage of our inheritance. There is. It begins with a promise. That promise must be mixed with faith. But then the third stage of that realizing that inheritance is that our faith must be demonstrated by our obedience. Now listen, faith, as small a definition as I can give you for faith is this. Faith is obeying God regardless of our feelings. Doesn't matter how you feel. You read God's Word, you depend on it, you act upon what God's Word is, whether you feel like it or not. If I always just depended upon my feelings, I wouldn't get much done for the Lord, would you? I don't always feel like doing certain things, do you? I don't even feel saved sometimes, but I know I am. Why? Because I trust God and I believe His Word. I know what happened to me 40-some years ago. So you got to obey God regardless of how you feel. You got to obey God regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in. Israel, for instance, were in some very dire circumstances when they left Egypt till they finally got to the Promised Land. Grave circumstances. And many times, beloved, you know as well as I, the circumstances in our life, they don't look good sometimes, do they? We almost feel like we're just surrounded in our lives by negative things and sometimes negative people. Circumstances. You can't trust circumstances. You can't trust them. But you can trust God's Word and you can put your faith in Him. So obeying God. Faith is obeying God regardless of how we feel, regardless of our circumstances all around us. Listen, here's something else. Faith is obeying God regardless of other people's opinions. What if Joshua and Caleb had have gone with the opinions of the other 10? What if they had gone with the majority of what Israel was wanting to do? Oh, we just need to turn back. We can't go into Canaan. So you've got to trust God regardless of the opinions of other people, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of how you feel, if you feel good or if you don't feel good. James says in his writings in James chapter 2, in verse 26, he says, as a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Beloved, listen. We can sing about faith till we give out. We can talk about faith till we get hoarse and can't speak. We can just imagine things about faith. You can pray about faith. But unless we begin to obey God by faith, our faith isn't worth 2 cents. Now listen, James said, faith without works is dead. What's the good in something dead? No good. When we die, our bodies aren't worth anything. It's our spirit that counts. Faith without works is dead. So we can't just sing about it, talk about it, pray about it. We've got to learn to obey the Lord. It's like that old hymn. I maybe mentioned it this morning. It's a favorite old hymn of mine. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, faith's got to be demonstrated by obedience unto the Lord. Well, I'm afraid that Israel's lack of faith was greatly demonstrated, and they lost a whole generation of Israelites because of it. All through the New Testament, how many times did we read and did we hear Jesus saying to the disciples, sometimes to the apostles on the Sea of Galilee in the storm, He'd say, oh, you have little faith. Or, where is your faith? If you just have faith, nothing is impossible to those who believe. I want you to listen to something. If you want to write it down, I'm going to read it to you. But write down Psalm 31, verse 19. Listen to this. It says this, oh, how great is your goodness, which you've laid up for those who fear you, which you have laid up for those who trust you. Not only has our Heavenly Father prepared a heaven for us, a mansion for us, He's prepared great blessings for us, but He's also given us great and exceedingly great and precious promises. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. He says, God's promises are the keys that open the treasury of God's grace. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Listen, just listen to it. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Peter writes and he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's great and precious promises are the keys that open the door to us to the very grace of God. And you know something I found to be true? Beloved, listen. This is God's Word, but it's also God's checkbook. You open up God's checkbook and you suddenly find out just how rich you are in the Lord. My professor used to say years ago, you ever shaken hands with a millionaire? He said, if you haven't, just wait at the door and I go out and you can shake my hand. We're more than millionaires, aren't we, in the Lord? Great and exceeding great and precious promises from the treasury of the Lord. But listen to me. Unless we mix those promises of God with faith in our Lord, we cannot claim the blessings that He has for us. Doesn't the Bible also say the just shall live by what? Faith. Faith. Faith is obeying God at all costs. Who's our greatest example of that? Jesus. Jesus obeyed God, our Heavenly Father, and it cost Him His life. It did. What about you? What about me? Realize your great and precious promises. Realize inheritance, which is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. And every day that we live a day closer to really realizing, I mean literally, physically, realizing those great and precious promises that God has given to us. Beloved, they're real. They're real as you and I are real. Just as sure as God made promises to Israel, He's made promises to you. He's made promises to me. And God has never defaulted on one promise He's ever made. Do you think He's going to start now? No. No. Just remember, your inheritance begins with a promise. God's promised us some wonderful things. That promise must be mixed with faith. Put our faith and trust Him. Nothing doubting. James also wrote, when a man asks something of God, he's to ask God in faith, nothing doubting. He said, if a man doubts, don't let him expect he can receive anything from the Lord. So we've got to trust the Lord by faith and then demonstrate that in our lives by our obedience unto the Lord. If you go back sometime and read, I wished you would, hope you will, read the story of Caleb and Joshua. Pick out Caleb, for instance, an old man. Caleb comes to Joshua and he says, God made me a promise. 40 years ago, God made me a promise to give me this mountain. And Joshua, I want to claim that promise of God. I'm as strong now at 80 years of age as I was at 40 years of age. And if you'll give me that promise God made me, I'm going to take this mountain because God gave it to me. And the story goes to say, Caleb did take the mountain. It was his inheritance, his portion of the inheritance that God gave him. You see, age has nothing to do with it. We can be 8 or 108 for that matter. Caleb realized inheritance. So will we.